Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, you'll learn how to avoid fights about money in your home.
You want to have a plan, a program, to have the right attitude toward money in your marriage and in your family? Put God first in your finances, if you will do what God says to do. If you'll learn to be content in the Lord and His provision, and if you'll make money your servant and not your master, then you'll enjoy financial freedom. And the financial feud that many go through in life won't come to your doorstep.
How can you experience true financial peace in your heart, and especially in your home, in your marriage, in your family? Well, Scripture has a lot to say about our relationship with money, and also a lot to say about conflict in marriage. And today, Pastor Jeff will address both in this timely and practical message, Overcoming the Financial Feud. Now, the message is one of seven in Pastor Jeff's series, We Are Family, that we've been in this month, and it touches on many important family issues. Perhaps financial problems have broken the harmony between you and your spouse, and you'd like to send the devil packing in this area of your married life. Let's find out how to do that as we listen today. Now, we'll be airing part two of this lesson. We had part one last time. If you missed it, you can go online to fromhisheart.org, click the Listen tab, and look for the broadcast titled Overcoming the Financial Feud. You can also download a free MP3 of the broadcast and the sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff once they've already aired. But first, open your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy as Pastor Jeff continues helping us overcome the financial feud.
There are three admonitions that the Lord gives us from His Word concerning money. Admonition number one, recognize the inherent danger found in money. The inherent danger. Money is like a gun. Money is neither good nor bad. A gun is neither good nor bad. It's amoral. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. Now it says that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Money is not the root of all sorts of evil, but your attitude toward money is. That word, when it says the love of money in verse 10, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, that's one word in the Greek, philagoria, philagoria. It means, literally means the affection for silver. Let me tell you something. It is easy to fall in love with money. Very easy, and not even know that you've fallen in love with money. And that's why you and I need to be very careful as it relates to money, because there is inherent danger in money. But not only is it easy to fall in love with money, it is foolish to fall in love with money. Very foolish to do that. Why? Well, because money can't satisfy. Money is something that we need, but money is not the be-all, end-all. Money doesn't solve problems. Money doesn't satisfy the longings of the human heart. Solomon, who had more money than anyone who has ever lived, he said this, those who love money will never be satisfied with the money they have. Those who love wealth will not be satisfied when they get more and more. This is all so senseless. It's vanity. It's chasing after wind. It's meaningless to go after money because money can't satisfy. Recognize the inherent danger found in money. Second admonition, learn to be content in the Lord and His provision. You find your contentment and satisfaction in the Lord and His provision. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. That's money. It's not going to satisfy you. The one who will satisfy you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without Him? No one, because He is the source of satisfaction. So look at verse 6. He says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain. He's talking in verse 5 about the false teachers who use religion to try and get money and fake godliness to try and gain money. He says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Contentment in the Lord, in what you have in Him and in what He provides. So how do we focus ourselves so we can see the Lord, so we can get our satisfaction in Him and not be distracted by so many other things and not let the love of money get into our hearts? Number one, stop comparing yourself to other people. We all tend to have trouble comparing ourselves to other people. You know what Facebook is? Facebook is people comparing themselves to other people. And in Facebook, you look on there, it's somebody's highlight reel. You know, they show you, oh, we're going here and we're doing this and we're doing that. And you look at your crummy life and you think, we never go anywhere. But listen, Facebook is not real. You know, I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. I don't have 5,000 friends. I don't know 5,000 people. But they're my friends on Facebook. Sometimes I get somebody come up and say, you know, we're friends on Facebook. I said, oh, hi, friend. I mean, I've never met you before, you know? And so it's not really real. So stop comparing yourselves to others. And then secondly, stop focusing on what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. What you do have. If we have food and covering, with these, we shall be content. Hey, praise the Lord, I have food. Praise the Lord, I have covering. Praise the Lord, I have a place to live. That's all I really need. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. What do I have? As a Christian, I have the Lord Jesus Christ through His Spirit living in my heart. I have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My citizenship is in heaven. How rich I am since Jesus came my way. I have so much in the Lord. So how do we overcome the financial feud? Well, we recognize, hey, money's got some danger to it. I got to treat this like I would treat a gun and be careful with it. I see that money can't satisfy me, so I find my contentment in the Lord and in His provision. And then admonition number three, make money your servant and not your master. What did Jesus say? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't find satisfaction in money, so don't go down that road. You can't serve God and money. And if you're a lover of money, you're not going to be walking with God because those two things are mutually exclusive. Look what it says in verse 17 of chapter 6, 1 Timothy. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, arrogant, high-minded, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Don't fix your hope on money because money is uncertain. You can have a lot of money today and it can be gone tomorrow. I remember back a few years ago, silver was going crazy. People were buying silver and the price of silver just kept going up and up and up. And I said, man, I need to get some silver. So I bought silver. The very next day, I think it dropped. And I bought it. It was like the very peak. I looked at a 10-year map of silver. I bought it at the very peak. It's dropped down from about $48, $49 down to about $15. And so if any of you would like to buy silver at $49, I have some for you. But that's the way money is. You buy something and then all goes down, or it gets wrecked, or something happens to it. Money talks, it says goodbye. And the scripture says, hey, you know what? You brought nothing into this world. You come in naked. You can't take anything with you. As Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, I just, money is uncertain. So I don't fix my hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who's a good God. And he richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So let me give you, just in closing, some things that will help you, some very practical things that will help you in your marriage, in your home, in your heart, as you deal with money. Number one, put God first in your finances. You want to have a plan, a program to have the right attitude toward money in your marriage and in your family? Put God first in your finances. The scripture says, Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. It says in the book of Leviticus, the tithe, the tenth, is the Lord's. And that belongs to God. A tenth of everything that you make, that I make, that belongs, that's God's. And so what do? We don't give the tithe. We bring the tithe. We bring the tenth because we say, God, that is yours. And I'm going to honor you. The first, off the top, I honor you in my wealth. You know why that is so important? Some people say, oh, that's Old Testament. We don't do that. That's Old Testament. Here's my attitude toward that. God forbid that a Jew under law would give more than a Christian under grace. I mean, I think that that's the baseline of giving. It's Lord, I want to give to you. It all belongs to God. But when you bring the tithe, you're saying, God, I'm bringing you the first 10% because I know that it all belongs to you and I want to honor you. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Why? So that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's a principle in Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the Lord says this, the one who honors me, him will I honor. And so when you honor God with your wealth, when I honor God with my wealth, God honors me, you back. The one who honors me, him will I honor. Now, you mark this down. If you hold on to everything and you say, well, you know, I can't afford to give. I can't put God first in my finances because I'm so far behind on these other bills. Listen, 90% with the blessing and honor of God goes way further than 100% with God's hand off of it. And so if you want to please God, if you want to honor God, if you want to say, God, I'm going to put you first in my finances, then start to give to the work of the Lord. Honor him with your wealth. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And if you want to make sure that the love of money doesn't get in your heart, a sure way to break the chains of greed and the love of money is to start giving and investing money in heaven's bank. There are only three things that last forever: God, his word, and people. So we invest in the kingdom, the work of the kingdom. We invest in spreading the word of God. We invest in ministering to people the good news that Jesus saves. So begin to put God first in your finances. Secondly, check with God before making any purchases. You don't buy anything before you talk to God about it. Because so many of us get in trouble. Why? Because we impulse buy. We see something we want, and then we confuse wants and needs. And oh, I want that new Corvette. And I just need that new Corvette. No, you need a car. You don't need a Corvette. You want a Corvette. There's a big difference between wants and needs. And the scripture says this, if we honor the Lord with our wealth, that God, Philippians 4:19, in the context of Philippians 4, is people who are giving to the Lord, honoring the Lord from their wealth. And Paul says that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise in God's word. You honor God, God will take care of you. He will provide for you. Now, the difficulty is, and my God shall supply all your needs. Needs, not greeds, not wants, needs. Many of us don't know the difference between needs and wants. Some parents need to learn the difference between needs and wants. God will provide your needs. And you know what's interesting is the person who's really content, you know, you find your contentment in the Lord. If we have food and covering with these, we should be content. And the person who is really rich, when we talk about rich, that person is the one who says, I don't need anything else. I'm completely satisfied. I don't need anything else. A very lowly farmer wasn't just barely making an existence, was out in town one day, saw the richest man in town, and he said to him, he said, you know, sir, I am richer than you are. The man looked at him, he said, how do you figure that? He said, because I have all I want and you don't. Adrian Rogers used to like to say, you want to know how rich you are? Count up all the things that money can't buy and death can't take away, and that's how rich you are. We find our satisfaction in Jesus. So we check with God, put him first. We check with him, Lord, is it okay that I buy this? Because all my money belongs to you. So Lord, is it okay if I buy this item and buy that item? God, what do you say? Is that a need or is that a want? And then thirdly, discuss all financial matters, keep no secrets, and develop a plan. In your marriage, discuss financial matters. Involve your spouse in the finances. Keep no secrets. It's amazing. I did a little search on Google. How many couples, husbands and wives, and the husband has a secret account and the wife has a secret account, and they spend money here and spend money there and they don't talk about it, and this person doesn't know and that person doesn't. Don't do that. Don't have any secrets. Put it all out on the table and work on a plan together. When Debbie and I were first married, now I'm very frugal. I came fifth or sixth kids. We had enough, but there was not a ton extra. And so you just learn to be frugal, you know? And so when I went to college, I was very frugal. I had five classes. So I bought one spiral notebook. It was five subjects. Had like 40 pages of paper in each one of the notebooks, because I thought I can get one notebook and that's only like $3 or $4, whatever it was. And you know, Debbie is totally different. She would have a binder full of notebooks for every class. Well, when you have one notebook, five subjects, and the notes start to run over into the other subject, it's like I was in trouble. I was writing it on my tennis shoe. I mean, I was like, I'm running out of paper. It's like, well, go buy some more paper. Well, I don't want to spend the money for that. I don't really need that. I can just write it on the back. That's the way I am. So Debbie and I get married, and I'm a super saver, and she is not. I mean, she's good with money, but she's not a super saver like I am. I used to love to play this game when we first married, had little kids, and I'd be like, Debbie, how cheap do you think we could live? She goes, I hate this game. It just ties my stomach in knots. I'm like, you're going to lose your job, you know? And so anyway, we first got married. Well, she had some medical issues, and she was off work for 3 weeks, and she racked up some medical debt, and she had some credit card debt, and she had a car payment. And so we get married, and so we're sitting down, and I'm wanting to be the leader and saying, hey, Debbie, we got to talk about our finances. Now, I came in with a car that was paid for. I had no debt. I had a five-subject, one-ring notebook, you know, that I was going by. And and I had some money that my grandmother had given me. I think I had like $5,000. And so that's what I was bringing to the table. And so we sat down, and I said, Debbie, how many credit cards do you have? And so she took them all. She had like 12, or it was a lot. And so we put them all out on the table. And I said to her, I said, okay, I think I took a Visa card. And I said, okay, you got this one? I said, pick one more. And she thought it was a game. And I said, pick one more. And she said, okay, I'll pick this Foley's card. So she picked a Foley's card. And I said, okay, those are the two that you have. And I took out the scissors and I started cutting up all the other ones. And she said, what are you doing? I said, you don't need those. I said, why do you need those? You know, to me, it was like, hey, you got one notebook, five subjects, that's good enough. If you got a Visa card or a Discover or American Express, that's all you need. Because you can buy gas, you can buy clothes, you can do anything with that. Why do you have a Foley's card and a Macy's card and a Phillips 66 card and a, you know, whatever, 7-Eleven card? I don't think they have those, but you know, you have all these cards. Why do you need that? And so I started cutting them all up, and to her tremendous credit, she didn't freak out on me, but she was thinking, what in the world are you doing? And I told her, I said, I'm taking over the finances. First month, I forgot to pay her car payment. Because I didn't have a car payment. I didn't know. I thought they were going to send me a bill. She said, they don't send you a bill. They give you this book. And then it's like, I've never had that before. So I just didn't send them anything. Next month, I gave her, I said, you take care of the finances here. You pay the bills. But I want to know what we're doing. And she's good at paying the bills. She pays them on time. But we made a commitment. We had a plan. We're not going to spend money that we don't have. We're not going to overextend ourselves. We're not going to buy this car even though it's going to strap us. We're not going to get house poor and buy a house that's going to take us up to here. No, we want to have margin. Why? Because the scripture says that instruct people to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. You can't be generous and ready to share if you're up here with your commitments. And if you buy things, not your needs, but your greeds and your wants, and all of a sudden you have all these bills to pay, and then if something happens, you got both people working, and if something happens, there's a little hiccup, there's a bump in the road, somebody gets sick or somebody loses his job, then it's disastersville because there is no margin. God says, I don't want you to live that way. And so develop a plan. Hey, if you will, do what God says to do. If you'll watch out about the inherent danger of money, if you'll learn to be content in the Lord and His provision, and if you'll make money your servant and not your master, then you'll enjoy financial freedom. And the financial feud that many go through in life won't come to your doorstep, and you'll be able to talk things out, and you'll be able to be on the same page. And God will be glorified.
As you likely already know, money can create all kinds of problems in your marriage and family. We've talked about that today. And it can lead to growing materialism, personal selfishness, unnecessary anxiety, and family fighting. But a lot of other issues in married life can do the very same thing. And many of these critical issues are addressed in Pastor Jeff's 7-message series, We Are Family. It's designed to bring your family the peace that you want and you need and God wants for you as well. You can get the entire We Are Family series as our gift to you to say thanks for your support of any amount to From His Heart. It's available on a USB flash drive, on CDs, DVDs, or a digital download, your choice. And when you give that gift today, we'll send you the series, along with his popular booklet entitled, I Still Do, written by Pastor Jeff and his wife, Debbie. It'll help your marriage stay grounded in the promises of God. Your spouse and your children will appreciate it. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go online to fromhisheart.org and request We Are Family when you make that special gift of support today. God bless you for standing together with us, sharing the good news to a challenged world. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today for From His Heart. We hope the broadcast has been a blessing to you and that you'll allow us to be a blessing to you again and again. If you've never watched our television broadcast each week, you can do that online at fromhisheart.org. or find a station or network in your area that carries the From His Heart weekly television broadcast. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Watch tab. Well, time is up for today, but we'll be right back next time when Pastor Jeff will continue his We Are Family series, when he'll help you start fighting for the family. Join us Wednesday, when we again will open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. Real truth, real love, real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.